You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Later today on Please Explain, we'll be talking about barbecuing and grilling. But before we do, we thought it would be great to bring in an expert on what to drink with those summer foods. And that's why Karen Page is here. She's a wine columnist at The Washington Post. And with her husband, Andrew Dornenberg, she is the author of the James Beard Award winning What to Drink with What You Eat from Bullfinch Press. How many James Beard Awards have you won?
Actually, just the one, but we did win the George DeBoeuf Wine Book of the Year Award and also the IACP Cookbook of the Year Award for this. So we're very honored indeed.
And you also have a website in which you talk about wines?
We do, becomingachef.com. We write about the wines that we're drinking all summer, and that is exactly what got us thinking about what to drink with grilled foods and barbecued foods.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. There are differences between grilled foods and barbecued foods. Some people use the two terms interchangeably.
Exactly, which gets a little confusing. By grilled foods, we're typically referring to grills that are literally done on a grill. So whether you're at home and you're throwing them on a charcoal barbecue, or you're in a professional restaurant where they sometimes use different woods that have different heat and smoke variations that give different nuances to grilled foods, that's basically what we're talking
about.
But
that's direct heat cooking.
Exactly, as opposed to a barbecue where you're really talking about a whole different art of barbecue where you're really, you've got the special equipment. We're talking about the kind they do at Blue Smoke, which in fact I brought a few little delicious samples for you
of their
incredible barbecued ribs that they do over on 27th Street between Park and Lex. But it's really an art.
That's indirect cooking.
Exactly.
Slow cooking. And
low and slow is the way to go, is what they say in the T-shirts.
Smoke.
Yes, exactly.
But in both cases, we're talking about smoke. On some level, is smoke flavor.
Right.
So is that an important factor when you decide how you might pair it with a wine?
You bet it is, because with that smoke, it can be a prominent flavor or it can be a subtle note. And depending on whether you're talking about just the subtle note or whether you're really working around that from a flavor perspective, that will determine which wine is going to be an optimal pairing for whatever it is you're looking to pair to. Typically with a chicken, you know, you can go with a smoked chicken if that's the intention of the pit master or whoever's making your chicken. But if you're just throwing it on the grill at home, you may or may not get that much smoke. And so you're really, really going to be pairing against the grill, which the characteristic flavors tend to be that little bit of those bits of char that you'll get on wonderful grilled food that gives it those crispy edges. That can be pretty bitter. And so you want to play off that bitterness by depending on the characteristics of the wine you're going to be pairing it with. So with grilled chicken, one of the things that I love is, and I love rules of thumb because it makes life easier. We're so busy. It's so hard to keep it straight. You know, white wine with fish, red wine with meat. It really, you know, it stands the test of time because it's really a great rule of thumb.
Although there are always those people who are saying, no, red wine with fish.
Well, if you're dealing with a fish dish that's made with a red wine, of course you want to pair it with the red wine. There's lots of different rules of thumb that can contradict. But as a general rule of thumb, you can work with that one and stick with that. One of the ones with grilled food is that if you're cooking on wood, you can have wood in your wine. Now, a lot of times, oaked Chardonnay can blow out the food that you pair it with. Unfortunately, that you can't pair an oaked Chardonnay with some delicate food like a very light poached scallop or something like that. It just overwhelms the delicacy of the dish. But when you've got something heartier, like a grilled chicken, that's a beautiful time to pull out those oaked Chardonnays and they can really show their stuff against a dish like grilled chicken. And in those cases, I'll reach for something like an Acacia Chardonnay, or what we recently discovered was the A by Acacia line, which is their value price line that still has these wonderful oak notes, great fruit, and priced at half the rest of the Acacia line.
Part of the problem for somebody who doesn't know a lot about wine is that Chardonnay, we know that that's a grape, but my experience with Chardonnays have been that there are lots of different flavors that you get from different Chardonnays.
Indeed.
They can be big and they can be very delicate. They can be there's such a wide range, and that applies to pretty much every kind of wine. So Does this mean that I really have to know a lot?
Do I have to read the Wine Spectator? You have to read the Washington Post so you can see the different notes that are in the particular Chardonnay. We did a column the other week on the wines that were featured in the movie Bottle Shock that's going to be opening next month that we think is going to have the kind of impact on the wine world, perhaps, that Sideways did for Pinot Noir. We're going to see a lot of interest in Chateau Montelena Chardonnay, and that is like this ethereal Chardonnay that spends some time on wood, but you wouldn't know it from the nose, and certainly wouldn't necessarily know it from the flavor because it's just so well integrated. You don't think of it as a big oaky Chardonnay.
That movie is about how American wine suddenly got the respect of the rest of the world?
Indeed, loosely based on the 1976 Judgment of Paris.
Well, let's start with a simple meal, what most people wind up cooking in the backyard. What would you recommend for a good old-fashioned cookout with hamburgers and hot dogs?
Oh, I've got just the perfect wine for you. In fact, I might have two perfect wines for you. I'm going to reach for the Tortoise Creek Chardonnay, the Tortoise Creek Shiraz, the 2007 that I brought along. It is a lovely, well, gently priced, say, $12, $12 to $15 across the country, that is made in France. They used to call it the Tortoise Creek Syrah. When they changed the name just this year with this vintage to Shiraz, they doubled their sales.
That's because Syrah was called Shiraz in Australia, and it's become more popular
exactly. As
a wine from Australia. So now the French are renaming their wines?
The winemakers are Mel and Janie Masters, who are based in Colorado, used to be restaurateurs, so all of their wines tend to be very food-friendly. And they had this idea. There were some questions about how that would work out. It's worked out absolutely beautifully for them. But their Tortoise Creek Shiraz, some Shirazes can be really big and overpowering to different foods. This one, it has got wonderful blackberry, fruity notes, a little spiciness. It's light-bodied enough to go with everything from chicken to beef brisket. So it really spans the range and adds this wonderful accent to your barbecued foods.
What about just an Australian Shiraz? Or a French Syrah?
You've got lots of choices that way. I think French Syrahs can have those wonderful peppery notes, and I think that is actually really nice with ribs that are rubbed as opposed to barbecue sauce. There's some little question as to, you know, how are they going to get along? How is a nice, delicate French Syrah going to get along with a big, hearty barbecue sauce? But some of the Rhone reds will go absolutely very nicely that way.
A lot of people will tell you, since barbecue is really an American thing, that we should drink an American wine, Zinfandel.
Exactly.
Even though Zinfandel is kind of a European, but it's really an American
wine.
No,
people think of it as when you typically don't have to specify that you're talking about an American Zinfandel. People will think California immediately when they hear Zinfandel. You know, California Zinfandel and barbecue have been such a match made in heaven for so long that it was kind of a no-brainer. But last year I had the experience where I tasted over a dozen different Zinfandels that I'd lined up trying to find the ultimate one to go with barbecue. They were all too big. The alcohol levels were too high, over 15%. In some cases, you know, towards 16% or higher. I couldn't find that one that paired with foods. I had started to lose hope, and then I found the Artisan Zinfandel. This is Artezin from Mendocino County, and this is such an incredibly well-balanced, well-made Zinfandel that really restored my faith in Zin as a wine.
So when we go to a wine shop, we should look at the alcoholic content. Is that one of the factors, not just
sure.
the name and where it comes from?
Sure, especially if you're trying to pair it with spicier barbecue sauces or spicier foods in general, the higher the alcohol level, the more it's going to exacerbate that spice and heat on your palate, which when you're pairing with barbecue, you really want something that's going to cool your palate down. So you want something that tends to be lower to medium alcohol. And by that, we're talking about really 14% or under.
My guest is Karen Page, who with her husband, Andrew Dornberg, has written the James Beard Award-winning Becoming a Chef. She's also written Culinary Artistry. And the more recent book by them is What to Drink with What You Eat, The Definitive Guide to Pairing Food with Wine, Beer, Spirits, Coffee, Tea, Even Water, based on expert advice from America's Best Sommeliers, published by Bullfinch. What about beer?
Beer? I love beer.
Does beer work well with
barbecue? Beer works beautifully with barbecue. Especially, it's a great time to pull out something like a little odd, like a smoked beer. And I brought one over, which is a smoked porter made by Stone, which is based in San Diego. And the smoky flavors of the beer will counteract the smoky flavors in the food. And what you're left with is really all those other incredible notes of chocolate and coffee and caramel in the beer that make it a perfect pairing for barbecue.
Now, you just returned from Paris, where you spoke at the Gastronomy by the Seine conference.
Indeed.
Do the French eat barbecue, or is this a particularly American taste?
In fact, I spent my 4th of July on the Seine, on this beautiful cruise along the Seine, which I'd never done before. So seeing the Eiffel Tower decked out in these beautiful blue lights, and I had a small miniature hamburger served with a Zinfandel from the United States. So, yes, in Paris this year, just earlier this month, I was drinking Zinfandel. But I think ultimately, I mean, what I love best about Paris is champagne. I can't get enough of it no matter where I am. And any kind of sparkling wine is really what I think Danny Meyer of Blue Smoke would call the beer of wines. And the ultimate pairing for barbecue, I would say, is the Domaine Carneros Rosé Brut sparkling wine, which is made in California. It goes with everything that you could have on your barbecue table, from the chicken to ribs.
Now, if it's made in California, you can't call it champagne, but
you can call it sparkling wine.
The thing that I'm curious about here is you've chosen a rosé rather than the other kind of champagne. What is it called? The white champagne?
Well, Blanc de Blanc, made from Chardonnay grapes.
Would rosés go better with the barbecued foods?
I think so, absolutely, because they have a little bit more fruitiness to them. And this one in particular, I think, has these fabulous strawberry notes that aren't too heavy that they overwhelm, but the way that sometimes a nice glass of iced tea or a glass of lemonade, which is also another wonderful pairing if you don't want to go the alcoholic route, another wonderful pairing for barbecue, those nice fruity notes really help to accent the flavors of the barbecue. And so when you go with the rosé sparkling wine like the Domaine Carneros, which is just, again, so elegant with this wonderful creamy finish, it's a wonderful way to really accent with those fruity flavors, accent the stronger flavors of the grilled food or the barbecued food you're pairing it to.
What about for vegetarians? Are there wines that go particularly well with grilled vegetables?
You know, I would absolutely go with a rosé as well, whether sparkling or non-sparkling. I think.
No, you're not talking about white. You're not talking about Zinfandel, or some of those pink wines
white
that we blushes that we have in this country.
We have a number of our readers who really love white Zinfandel. We did a column the other week about the fact that Andrew grew up in the 1970s, and his first taste of white Zinfandel as a California boy, he loved it. And there is something nice and simple about that simple fruitiness, the slight sweetness. I think a lot of our palates since the 70s have evolved, thankfully, toward a little different style of wine, which tend to be drier. But yet those images of white Zinfandel remain, where people look at a pink wine, they think, oh, it's going to be sweet. This Rosé Domaine Carneros is not a sweet one at all. It's a dry wine. It's got some fruitiness, so it's really food friendly, but it's a dry, not sweet. The same with the other rosé that I brought. It's a drier rosé, more in the style of the Provence rosés.
And people in Europe drink those rosés all the time, and during the summer.
All the time.
It goes great with pork and grilled vegetables.
Sure, vegetarian cuisine, as you said.
But since grilling and barbecuing are often done outdoors, glasses usually not a good idea. Do plastic glasses or paper cups compromise the taste of the wine?
Wow, that is a loaded question. You know, if I were going to be a wine snob, I would say you should not drink in anything other than a fine glass of crystal, because I seriously do believe that the shape of the glass, the style of the glass. We at home made a resolution this year to drink only out of our best wine glasses. We're not going to leave our crystal for special occasions, because we'll never use it. So we use our Zalta wine glasses every night, or
And don't worry about breakage.
Because even though they're very delicate, they're very thin-lipped, which is what you want. You don't want to use a thick-lipped glass. You don't want to use a colored or opaque glass. You want to be able to see the wine, because that's a big part of the appreciation, to be able to smell it and to see the color and appreciate the bubbles if they're bubbles. And so I think it does make a difference. So when you can or are in a situation to use a great glass, I would say use the finest glass you have. But otherwise, hey, if it's a barbecue, it's all about the people, it's about the food, it's about something else. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
What about the new box wines that have come onto the market? Are any of them worthwhile? Because that's not glass also.
Absolutely. I was pretty stunned, frankly, the first time I tasted a boxed wine that blew me away. And it was actually at the home of Daniel Ballou and his wife. And they pulled out this Detour Chardonnay that they had had recently produced a few years back. And it was a bag-in-box situation. So it was really more of a cylinder, not a square box, but a cylinder with a bag inside it that kept the wine. And I took some home. I left it in the fridge, and I tasted it probably every week for 6 weeks or more. And by the time we finished it off 6 weeks later, it was still wonderful. So I think the technology is definitely there. In addition to Detour, I had recently tasted a Boho Chardonnay that comes in a box. It's an organic wine out of California. I was really surprised and really pleased at the value that's offered by box wine. So it's definitely something not to poo-poo anymore.
And in Europe, you see them all over the place. It's interesting
Indeed.
That there's probably a lot more in a wine store in Europe than there is in an American or a New York wine store.
Well, I hope that's changing, because I think there are a lot of good options. And I think consumers are finally getting wise to the fact that technology is making more of these better options available to them.
Now, you brought a whole bunch of wines here. They're all in around the $12 to $18 range, other than the sparkling wine. When we go grilling in the backyard, we usually think as inexpensive as possible. Are there wines that are under $10 that are still worthwhile?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the fun of being a wine writer, is that you get to discover all of these gems that you don't have to pay the amount of money that people, I think, used to think, oh, I don't want to buy wine, I'm going to stick with beer because it's less expensive. Well, these days, the quality of wine is getting higher and higher, and the values out there are getting better and better. The Acacia Chardonnay that I'd mentioned before, it's made by Acacia, which has produced a distinguished Chardonnay for some time. Now they're coming out with a value price line, so I can't remember. I think it's probably in the $10, $12, $15 range, depending on your retailer and where you are. This rosé I brought that I think you're absolutely going to love, I'll look forward to having you try this. This is the Gran Feudo Rosé from Spain that is made by one of the oldest winemaking dynasties in Spain. So the incredible winemaking expertise that goes into this bottle of wine is truly amazing. And yet I think the retail price is just what you'd said, you know, $10 to $12 at the store these days. So it's definitely one to watch for. It's Julian Civite Gran Feudo Rosado, and it's made from 100% Grenache grapes, which of course they call Garnacha in Spain, but that soft, slightly berry flavors goes with just basically anything on your grill or barbecue picnic table.
Karen, you've inspired me. I'm not sure whether I want to have the barbecue or just have the wine.
Why choose? See, we're all about being evangelists for food and drink together, and how the two become one, and the combination of 1 + 1 = 3. It's just so much better when you get the right combination of food and drink together.
Karen Page is the wine columnist for The Washington Post and co-author with Andrew Dornenberg of a number of books, including What to Drink with What You Eat, published by Bullfinch Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me again, Leonard. My pleasure.